right. Well, you might be confused by this slide because it says turn. It says we're in Hebrews, but it says our main text is John chapter 5. And the reason why it says John chapter 5 is because as I was talking about rest last week we were in Hebrews chapter 4. You remember what the main subject of Hebrews chapter 4 is? What is it? Rest, right? 10 times in the first 11 verses of Hebrews chapter 4, the author mentions the word rest. So if there was one chapter of the Bible where you could say this is the rest chapter, it would be Hebrews chapter 4. And we talked about the believer's rest, that as believers we rest in this life, in this world, in the finished work of Jesus on the cross. We don't have to work to earn our salvation. It's been given to us by faith in Christ. And of course, one day when we depart from this world, if we've been born again by faith in him, then we will join God in his eternal heavenly rest. And as I was preparing my message last week, there was a text in the Gospel of John. That's where this text comes in, John chapter 5. So you can turn there if you want. Turn to John chapter 5. There was this text in John 5, which I had read 100 times before, but I had never read it in the context of rest. And you ever had those aha moments when you read the Bible and you've read a text, you know, 100 times, and you read it, and somehow God just opens it up in a whole new way to you? Does that ever happen to you guys? No? Okay, I guess it's just me. I don't know. Sometimes when I'm reading my Bible, because I read my Bible, God takes a text that I've read before and he reveals it in a new way. And God did that with John chapter 5. And so instead of moving on in Hebrews, I'd like to take one more week to talk about rest. You guys good with that? And I found it was interesting. I got a lot of positive feedback from my message last week, and I don't think it has a lot to do with me. I think it has more to do with the fact that we are crazy busy, aren't we? We live lives that are just, we're all running around with like chickens with our heads cut off from one thing to another. We're very busy. And I think for most of us in our modern American life, we resonate with the topic of rest. We want more rest. And so I hope you don't mind if we take one more week to talk about rest. Now, last week the topic was the believer's rest, and if you notice here, my message this morning, the topic is the believer's active rest. Now, at this point, you're probably thinking to yourself, that's a paradox, that's a contradiction in terms. What's an active rest? What in the world does that mean? Either you're active or you're resting, but you can't do both, right? And so this morning, what I want to talk about is I want to talk about the relationship between resting and working. How many of you have ever struggled in your Christian life with the question of the relationship between grace and works? Has that ever been an issue for you as a Christian? You know, in the New Testament, it says all over, you know, we're saved by grace through faith. Isn't that good news? We're not saved by our works. You can't work to earn your salvation. You're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. All you need to do is receive it by faith, right? But then we have all of these commandments in the Bible, and we know, you know, all throughout the New Testament says love God, love one another. You read the Gospels, Jesus teaching us, giving us all these commandments about things we should do, things we shouldn't do. And Paul, in his letters, after explaining being saved by grace, he gives instructions to wives, instructions to husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, respect your husbands. Children, obey your parents. Parents, raise your children up in the Lord. You know, and all of these instructions about how we are to treat one another. Has that ever puzzled you as a Christian that on the one hand, it says, okay, we're saved by grace through faith, not works, but then on the other hand, the Bible talks a lot about the works that we should be doing? Has that ever confused you before? I think that this text in the book of John is a great teaching. God opened it up to me in a new way to help me understand in a new way the relationship between resting and working. Grace and works. Resting in Christ and working for God. You know, there was a man who was attending this church, and he was quite excited. And he would talk to me a lot about my messages, and you know, all that he was receiving from my messages, and he was growing, and it was helping him in his faith. Suddenly he started to become more distant, and he was kind of fading away. And then I got the email, you know, the email that tells you I'm leaving, I've left your church, and explaining why. And you know what was interesting? People leave churches for a lot of different reasons. But you know why he left our church? The relationship between resting and working. The relationship between grace and works. He said to me, you know, John, it seems like you've got two different messages. I'll come to church one Sunday and you talk all about grace and receiving God's, receiving salvation by faith, and there's nothing you can do to earn it. You just need to receive it by faith. I like that message. But then I come to church another Sunday and you're talking about works. You're talking about how I should live as a Christian, how I need to share my faith, how I need to serve, how I shouldn't do this, but I should do that. And to him, it sounded like I was preaching two different messages that contradicted each other. And he said, he left because of it. Now, why do you think I'm telling you this story? It's not because I have anything personal against this guy. I hope that he's found a good church to go to. And by the way, don't ask me who it was. I'm not going to tell you. But I think that this story, this example, you know, I can imagine his struggle. I've been there before. Have you ever been there before? As a Christian, I think all of us struggle throughout our lives. With sometimes it does feel like two different messages. There's grace by faith, nothing you can do. But then there's love God, love one another, you know, love your wife, serve, share your faith. There's all these things that we should be doing. How do we understand them? How do we bring them together as Christians? Grace and works, resting in Christ and working for Christ. That's why I want to read our passage this morning. So if you're in the book of John, read with me John chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. And just real quick before we jump into the text, to give you a background, Jesus here is in Jerusalem. He is celebrating a festival of the Jews. And Jesus was walking by this pool where there was a lot of sick people and, you know, dying people. And he sees this paralyzed man. John tells us that this man had been paralyzed from birth, 38 years, and he had never walked a step in his life. And Jesus sees this guy and he says, "Do you want to be healed?" And the guy, in a funny, you know, he's funny. He's like, "Well, I don't." He starts making all these excuses why he can't get well. And Jesus just says to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And the guy gets up in faith, takes up his bed, and he walks. He's healed. Praise the Lord, right? God did an amazing miracle. And you'd think that everybody would be amazed and everybody would be excited about this great miracle of Jesus. But how did the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, react? They got really angry with Jesus. Why? Because, you see, this healing, this miracle took place on the Sabbath day. It took place on the Jewish day of rest. And so they said, "Jesus is violating the Sabbath. He's breaking the Sabbath by healing this man. He's working." You know, healing this man was a work. So he's not resting, he's working, he's breaking the Sabbath. And our text this morning is Jesus' response to the accusation of these religious leaders that he is breaking the Sabbath. So let's read John 5, 17 through 19. It says, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father is working until now, and I am working.' This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God." Verse 19, "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise.'" Jesus' response to the accusation of the religious leaders that he's breaking the Sabbath is what? Verse 17, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." Jesus, first of all, affirms the belief that our God is an active God. "My Father has been working until now." Jesus is saying God is an active God. He's actively at work in our world. And truly, if you read the Bible, if there's one thing the Bible teaches us, it's that our God is an active God, right? I mean, from Genesis all the way through Revelation. In Genesis, he saves Noah from the flood. He gives Abraham and Sarah a son, miraculously. Then he raises up Joseph, allows him to be sold into slavery, but then raises him up to be second to Pharaoh and shows him the upcoming famine. You know the story, right? And saves the small nation of Israel. Fast forward a couple hundred years, the book of Exodus, from 70 up to about 2 million Israelites, slaves in Egypt. God appears to Moses in the burning bush, calls him to go back to Egypt. Then we have the 10 plagues, right? The Israelite slaves are freed. Then God parts the Red Sea. God rains manna from heaven. God gives water out of a rock. God appears to them at Mount Sinai and gives them the law, the Ten Commandments, turns this eclectic mix of slaves into one nation under God. And that's just the first two books of the Bible, right? We've got 64 other books where God is an active God. And we've heard from Jim and Cindy this morning. Is God still active today in our world? Amen, right? He's active here in Salt Lake City. He's active in the border of Peru and Brazil amongst the people of La Colina. He's active in North America, South America, Africa, Europe, Asia, everywhere. God is an active God. And that's what Jesus is saying. My Father is working until now. Now, why am I making this point? Do you remember what we said last week about God in Hebrews chapter 4? Do you remember the discussion of God in Hebrews chapter 4 using Genesis chapter 2? Do you remember when we talked last week about the seventh day of creation? Do you remember what we said? In Genesis chapter 1, we have the 6 days of creation where God creates the heavens and the earth and all of the inhabitants therein. And what does it say at the end of each day of creation? And there was evening and there was morning, the first day, second day, third day. Then you get to Genesis chapter 2, and it says, on the seventh day, God rested. And do we find there the verse, and it was evening and it was morning the seventh day? Is that in the Bible? It's nowhere in the Bible. And we talked about last week that the Jewish rabbis and scholars, even centuries before Christ, said that apparently the seventh day of creation goes on forever. And if God rested on the seventh day, if the seventh day is the day of God's rest, then apparently God's rest continues on forever. I don't know about you, but that was new for me. Was that new for you? Pretty interesting. Now, combine that truth, God is in an eternal state of rest, with what Jesus is saying right here in John chapter 5. My Father is actively working until now. Doesn't that seem like a contradiction? The Bible says on the one hand, and we know, we know the stories all throughout the Bible. We can, you know, missionaries, we can look in our own church. We know God is an active God. He has always been active in this world. He is active and he will be active until the end of time. And yet we have Genesis chapter 2, Hebrews 4 that says, well, wait a minute. God rested on the seventh day. The seventh day has no end. Our God is a God of rest. And he continues on in a state of continual rest. So apparently, our God is a God of active rest. Do you see that? Do you agree with me? Somehow, God is simultaneously enjoying rest, and yet at the same time, he was actively at work in this world. I don't know exactly how those two fit together, but that's what I understand the Bible teaches. So that's what I believe. Now, what's interesting is if you think about, for us as believers, John, what does that have to do with me? How does that affect my life? Well, as we said last week, our rest as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, our rest is God's rest, right? Our rest is to join God in his rest. As God's children, we are imitators of God. Hebrews 4, 9 and 10 was our text last week. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. So two things in this text. Number one, there is a rest for us. We talked about that last week, right? God has a rest prepared for you and for me as his followers. And number two, this rest, the believer's rest, is when I enter God's rest, when I rest from my works as God did from his. So number two, the rest of God for you, God's rest for you, is joining him in his rest. And we talked about verse 10 last week, right? God rested from his work of creation because it was finished. In the same way, you and I, we're called to rest. The work for our salvation has been finished where? Who completed the work for our salvation? Jesus. Where did he complete that? Where did he finish it? On the cross. How do we know that? What was his last words? It is finished, right? And we talked about tetelestai, the Greek. It is finished. We talked about what that means for you and for me. How because Jesus cried out, it's finished. The work for your salvation, the work for my salvation is finished. Isn't that a good news? And that's the basis for our rest as believers. We rest from our works. We don't have to earn God's salvation any longer because Jesus finished the work on the cross. But what I'm doing with John chapter 5 here is I'm building on this understanding of our rest as believers. Yes, we rest from our works here and now in this present life. Yes, we look forward to the eternal rest. One day, when we die, we're going to be with God forever in his eternal rest. But what I'm saying today, based on John chapter 5, is that the rest of God is an active rest. And if our rest as believers is to join God in his rest, then our rest is also an active rest. Do you understand that? Our rest as believers, somehow, like God's rest, is an active rest. We are called to imitate God by resting in the finished work of Christ, and yet at the same time, joining God in his action, in his activity in this world. It sounds like a contradiction, it sounds like a paradox, and yet that's what the Bible teaches. As believers, we are called to live in this continual state with God, joining him in his active rest. Now, how do we do that? I mean, that sounds interesting. That sounds good, right? But how does that work? How in the world can I, as a believer, live in a state of active rest? And the answer, as the answer to every Sunday school question, is what? What's the answer to every good Sunday school question? Jesus, right? So Jesus is the answer, right? When in doubt, look to the example of Jesus Christ. So let's look back at verse 19, the final verse of our text this morning. Verse 19, it says, "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise.'" Notice here this remarkable statement of Jesus in verse 19. The Son can't do anything on his own. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever thought about that? Jesus is the creator of the world. He was with God in the beginning. He is God. He's the almighty, all-knowing creator of heaven and earth. He's the savior of the world. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. And Jesus says, I can't do anything on my own. I can't do anything apart from my Father. Now, that statement would be very confusing apart from the Trinity. I believe that here we can see the Trinity implied in this teaching of Jesus. You know, as Christians, we believe in the Trinity, right? God is one being, one essence, three persons. So it makes perfect sense what Jesus is saying here. I can't do anything without God, my Father, because we're one. Yes, we are different persons, but we are one being, one essence. We do everything together. I can't do anything on my own. But here, what Jesus really is doing is he's revealing a secret to us. Jesus is letting us in on a spiritual secret in his life. This is Jesus' MO, his modus operandi, his the way he ticks, the way Jesus lived his life. This is the way Jesus approached ministry and everything. He says, I can't do anything on my own, but this is what I do. I look to see what God, my Father, is doing, and I join him in that work. Isn't that profound? You know, in one sense, you could summarize all of Jesus' life and ministry in this statement. Everything Jesus did was looking to what God the Father was doing, to what God the Father wanted to do, and joining him in that. Hey, there's a blind man over there. God, you want him to see again. Okay, let's go and heal him. Hey, there's a paralyzed woman over there. God, I know you want her to walk. Okay, let's heal him. Hey, this widow just lost her son. God, you want him to come back to life. Okay, let's raise him from the dead. All of Jesus' life and ministry could be summed up in seeing what God was doing and joining him in that. And I believe that Jesus is our perfect example of an active rest. Do you believe that Jesus was at rest with God? Do you believe that Jesus' relationship with God the Father was characterized by rest, was characterized by peace? Do you believe that? I don't think there's any person who ever lived who was more at peace with God than Jesus Christ, right? I mean, there was no sin in Jesus' heart. There was no doubt. There was no unbelief. There was no rebellion. There was no struggling. Jesus was fully surrendered to God, his Father. Jesus, if anyone, was at perfect peace with God. He lived in a continual state of being in union and at peace with God. And yet, did this rest of Jesus result in him sitting around being lazy? Was Jesus lazy? Did he say, hey, I'm at rest with God, so I'm just going to kick back and hang out, you know, my work is done. Was Jesus lazy? No, Jesus was busy. You could make the case historically that no other person has accomplished more in their lifetime than Jesus did. For three years, really, he ministered. And yet, you know, the generals, the kings, the empires of this world, no one has accomplished even close to what Jesus accomplished in a few years. Do you see the power of living in an active rest? The example of Jesus Christ was being at rest with God, his Father, in his relationship with him, while at the same time working with God. Everything Jesus did, everywhere he went, that was his goal. God, where are you? God, what are you doing? Father, what do you want to do today? I'm going to join you in that work. And that's the invitation for you and for me this morning. Number one, to find our rest in Christ. Stop working to try to earn your salvation. Stop trying to be good enough for God, right? Jesus said what? On the cross, he said, it is finished. It's already been completed. The work is done. Rest in the grace of God. Rest in the gift of salvation that's given to you by the work of Christ, not your own works. And yet, there's another invitation, because our God is a God of active rest. Yes, he's at rest, but he is actively at work in this world, and he invites you. Because Jesus said, John 20:21, what did he say? As the Father sent me into the world, so I'm sending you. So the first invitation is, rest in me. Find your rest in me. But the second invitation of God is, join me. I'm working actively in this world. Join me in my work in this world. You know, why did Jesus work? Why was he so actively busy for God, doing so many good works, doing so many things for God? Why do you think he did that? Do you think it was to earn his salvation? Do you think Jesus was actively ministering in order to try to be good enough so that God would let him back into heaven? Do you think that's why Jesus was so busy in this world? It's silly, right, to think about Jesus trying to work to earn his salvation. And yet Jesus was active in this world. He was actively at work in this world for God. Why? Was it to try to impress God? Was it to try to impress you and me? As he says here in verse 19, I don't do anything on my own. I look to see what God is doing, and I join him in that. You see, Jesus' desire, the desire of his heart, was to join God in this world. Not because he was afraid of God, not because he was afraid of going to hell, not because he wanted to impress other people with his skill and talent, but just because he loved God and he wanted to join God in his work in this world. And that's the invitation for you and for me as followers of Jesus Christ, that on the one hand, we rest in the finished work of Christ. Stop trying to work to earn your salvation, to impress God, to impress other people. Rest in the finished work of Christ. But secondly, God says, hey, I'm at work in this world. And we, you know, who will join me? And as Isaiah said, we say, here am I, send me. God invites you to join him in this world. You know, there is a book that I had to read for one of my classes. I think it was my bachelor's degree. One of the classes that I had was this book. How many of you have seen this or heard? Anybody Experiencing God? Anybody read through that book before? Great. You guys, you just volunteered to teach a class at this church. Amen? One of you, take that book and do a class. Isn't it a great book? So Experiencing God, written by Henry Blackaby, a pastor, many years ago. Well, not many years ago, a few decades ago. Really, the whole premise of the book, Experiencing God, is this text. If you've gone through this book, probably you recognize some similarities in my message this morning. Because really, John 5:17, where Jesus says, I don't do anything on my own. All I do is I watch what God does, and I join him in that. That's the whole basis for this book. Now, of course, there's more content than that in this book. But the whole, you can see here the subtitle, Knowing and Doing the Will of God. And this class, the whole point of this class is helping you as a Christian to better understand God's will for your life, to be better at recognizing God's activity in the world and joining God in him, in that, joining God in his activity. So if you've read the book and you're a member of our church, please teach the class. It'd be a great class to do at our church about, you know, helping us to practice John 5, to practice learning how to look around, see what God is doing, and join God in his work. You know, I'm not the perfect example of active rest, okay? I'm learning along with you. Sometimes I think I'm just 1 week ahead of you guys, all right? I'm learning as well as a believer what it means, on the one hand, to learn to rest from my works, to stop trying to be good enough for God, stop trying to impress other people, just rest in the finished work of Christ on the cross. And yet at the same time, learning, instead of just doing things all the time, being busy, 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 trying to slow down and prayerfully ask God, look around and say, God, what are you doing? Where are you at? What do you want to do? How can I join you in that work today? I am not the world's perfect example of that, but that is my ambition. That's my goal as a Christian, to experience the rest of God that he has for me, and yet to join God in his active work in this world. You know, as I was studying for this week, I came across a message that I preached on John chapter 5. On this passage, in 2011, isn't it weird that 2011 was 8 years ago? Isn't that kind of crazy to believe? 2011 was—it's already been 8 years. It's crazy. But in 2011, we were home on home assignment, and I was sharing at a church, and I was going through this book, so I was really excited about it, and I shared a message on this passage. And at the time, Lisa and I were living in Austria, as many of you know our story, in Europe. And we were a few years into a church plant in a small town called Eisenstadt. And I read through my old notes, and it was interesting. It was funny to see how I shared, you know, about how I am watching God, you know, watching God at work around me, and how our desire in our ministry, you know, we were planning a church out there, our desire in our ministry is to see God at work and join him in that work and work together with God. And it was interesting this week in my preparation just to kind of, you know, reflect, and it's encouraging to me. I'm not perfect. I make a lot of mistakes. And yet, when I look back at 2011, where we were at, what we were doing, and I look today at what's happened, it's encouraging to me. It's encouraging for me not to give up, and it's encouraging to me that, you know, following Jesus is the greatest adventure, amen? I don't know of any other life that's more exciting than resting in the finished work of Christ and yet voluntarily choosing to join God in his work in this world. You know, we tried our best to see what God was doing around our community, to reach out to people in our community. Some of the things we did were more effective than other things, and we had highs and lows, ups and downs. But the long and the short of it is that, you know, our church grew, became a little church, and then, you know, in 2014, we were fasting and praying, and, you know, again, speaking about looking at what God is doing and joining him in that work, God put it on our hearts that it's time to move on. And we thought to ourselves, well, we're kind of in the middle of your work, God, here, you know. You're not done, right? But he said, well, you are. So God laid it on our hearts that it's time to move forward, move away. And at the same time, when we were fasting, Lisa and I, God put a young man on our hearts named Michael. and you know, young Austrian guy who's called to ministry, who actually wrote me emails saying I'm interested in helping you in your work. And so that year was the beginning of transitioning and telling our church, look, we're moving on, and we believe that God has raised up this Austrian pastor to come and take over this church. And, you know, I'm not going to bore you with all the details, but, you know, when I look back today, you know, that church, last month they had a baptism. I think they baptized 6 or 7 people. They're raising over $100,000 right now because they're going to buy a cafe, an old cafe downtown in the city. And their goal is to turn that cafe into like a youth ministry outreach center. So it's awesome to just join God in his work. And then God calls you to move on, and the work continues, and God is doing new things, and he's reaching new people. And just to say, wow, God, I got to join you in that. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that an adventure, just to join God in his work? And so my question for you today in closing, I hope that this message helps you in your relationship with God. As a Christian, we talked about the struggle that many believers have. I'm saved by grace, but I'm called to work. How does that work? Well, I hope that our text this morning in John chapter 5 helps you to understand. Jesus is example. The example of God the Father, first of all, who entered into his rest on the seventh day of creation, continues in rest today. And yet at the same time, our God who is actively at work in this world. I hope that the example of Jesus here in John 5 gives you a portrait, a picture of what it means to rest in Christ because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. You and I have peace with God. Amen? We can rest in his work on the cross. We don't have to work to earn our salvation, to impress God. We can rest. And yet at the same time, as Jesus says, I don't do anything on my own. Whatever I see God doing, my goal is to join him in that. And so the invitation of God to you this morning is, first of all, rest in the finished work of Christ. But secondly, join God in his activity in this world, not to earn your salvation, not to impress other people, but simply because our God is a God who is actively at work in this world, and he invites you to join him. Amen? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word, and your word is beyond comprehension. Skeptics would immediately claim, oh, see the contradictions in the Bible. Doesn't make sense. And yet we would say, our God, that your ways are higher than our ways. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. But you are higher than us, Lord. Your ways are higher than us, our ways. God, thank you that you are a God of active rest. You dwell in perfect rest. You're not sitting up there biting your nails on your throne. You're not sitting up there anxious about politics, about war. You are at perfect peace and rest. Jesus, as you were in this world, you are in perfect harmony, perfect union with your Father. Perfect peace, rest with him. And yet, God, we know what the word says. We know that you are a God who is actively at work. We heard about it specifically from Jim and Cindy today, how you're at work amongst the Kulina people. I shared a little bit about how you're at work in the church that we started even after we left, and you've led us here. You're still at work over there. Lord, you're at work everywhere. I pray for us as believers here at Discovery. I pray that on the one hand, we would rest in Christ. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have to work to earn our salvation. It's finished. It's completed. Thank you, Lord. And yet you invite us, come, join me in my work in this world. You actually invite us to join you in your own activity, God. So I pray, Lord, that we would experience more of your active rest, experience more of what it means to see you at work in this world, experience your rest, and yet join you in your activity. Lord, I pray that many of the works of God, the works of the Father, which you said, Jesus, the works we would do are even greater than what you did. Hard to believe, but that's what you told us. I pray that here at Discovery, we would see the works of God in our lives. that we would rest in your finished work and join you in your activity here in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's.